Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the IMI plc Interim Management Statement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, during which, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that this conference is being recorded today, November 10th, 2016. I would now like to turn the call over to our speaker, Mark Sewell. Thank you. Please go ahead.
So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining our call this morning. I've got with me my whole team, Daniel Shook, Roy Twite, Massimo Grassi, Peter Spencer and John Dean. I hope you've had time to review our announcement, and I'll take a few minutes now just to put a bit more meat around the financials and also the current state of our markets. Third quarter proved to be tough across most of our businesses. Continued slowdown in critical, mixed conditions in precision, and a disappointing quarter in hydronic due specifically to a slow start to the heating season and some project delays in both North America and also in Asia. But look, despite these external factors, full-year EPS is still expected to come in at the upper end of estimates, which for the avoidance of doubt, we read currently at 56 to 60p. It should also be noted that underlying EPS is directly in line with the expectations that we set out in February, and that currency benefits are provided a considerable upside during the course of the year. First, for the detail, I'll take you through critical, where it's been a tough third quarter, and that'll impact our input, our revenue, and our profit performance for the balance of this year, and certainly well into the first half of next year. Having said that, our revenues and margins are still expected to be well up on the first half of this year. The order book in critical at the end of September was $509 million. That's about 6% lower than the same point last year, and margins are still slightly higher than at the same point in 2015. When you review the new orders, the third quarter was 12% lower. New construction was down 15%, and aftermarket was down 9% when compared to the same period last year. I'm sure you'll all respect it's quite lumpy in terms of quarter-by-quarter reviews. But clearly, to address the gaps that have opened up in demand within critical, Roy's already largely concluded the transfer of his nuclear businesses in Switzerland and also in Canada into Boffin Reuter, and consolidated TH Jansen into Z&J in Germany. And post our half year, we also initiated the transfer of our Swedish manufacturing operations into the Czech Republic. Now, as part of the 2017 budget, we will address the workload gap further by taking additional actions to reduce our SG&A costs to align them with lower demand. And you'll get a detailed update on those actions when we present our full year results in February. Turning now to precision, the market continues to be choppy, particularly commercial vehicle in North America, where build volumes for Class 8 trucks is off about 27% year on year. And that translated to a precision revenues being 3% lower on a like-for-like basis when compared to the same quarter last year. The key headlines in terms of our sectors, the industrial automation sales, in comparison to our competitors and peers, have been reasonably good. We're off 4% in the quarter. We've continued month-on-month ups and downs featuring across all of our regions. In Europe, commercial vehicle volumes have remained strong right throughout this year. We are expecting some softening in 2017, and also the conclusion of about 13 million of current contracts will come into change mode over the period of 2017. In China, our actions to reduce our costs last year have significantly improved the costs this year, and the actions that have been taken by Massimo in Brazil have resulted in our business there remaining cash and profit neutral this year, which was our expectation of those actions. Massimo is getting on top of his 2017 cost reduction plans. Our new product pipeline is gathering pace, and there'll be new products launched at the Hanover Fair next year. and we're holding market shares, the factories are improving, including our scrap and our lead times. So Precision, like everybody in the sector, continues to face market headwinds, and the benefits from Project Janus, the reining in of costs across the divisions, will be positive offsets in 2017. Turning now to Hydronic, where all of Peter's work on great new products and the counter successes that we've achieved certainly during the course of this year were unable to offset the construction delays that we saw in Asia and also North America, and the slower start to the heating season in Europe. New product sales continue to receive excellent market acceptance, but realistically, we're now expecting full-year revenues and margins to be a bit lower than last year. I can tell you the last couple of weeks, we've seen a substantial uptick in orders being placed, but we are coming to a point where we've got less shipping days, and very clearly the installers have got less days to take our products ahead of the year end. So we are expecting in Pete's world full year revenues and margins to be a bit lower than they were last year. So look, when you put all that in the round, this year on a like-for-like basis, we will achieve the EPS expectations that we outlined at the start of this year, and currency benefits due to weak sterling should produce about a 12% upside in total. Now, in 2017, we're still working through our budgets, so we can't be absolute specific, but we're not expecting too much in the way of market improvements. So to protect profits and margins, both critical and also in precision, they'll be addressing their cost base further, and we'll provide detailed updates of those actions when we present our full-year results in February. So with that, Christy, I'll hand back to you, and if you'd be happy to manage the Q&A session for us.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from Max Yates with Credit Suisse.
Hi, thank you. Just two questions from me. Firstly, on the aftermarket business within Critical, you mentioned that was still sort of fairly lumpy, and that actually, I mean, it was against easier comps in the second half or in the third quarter than we saw in the first half. So could you just talk a little bit about, firstly, how demand and maybe lumpy orders has affected that business in Q3 and what the outlook is into Q4? And also if sort of sustained declines in this business has had any effect on pricing within the aftermarket side of Critical as well. That was the first question.
Do you want me to take that,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, great. Okay.
Well, morning, Max. Yeah, in terms of aftermarket Critical, as you know, the third quarter orders were 9% down. Most of that was within power, and power is lumpy, as you know, with upgrades. I would say, however, Max, that maintenance budgets are definitely under pressure. You know, definitely we are feeling the pressure from customers to try and reduce their maintenance budgets. In terms of pricing, the margins in the order book on the aftermarket spares are holding up and pretty similar to where they were this time last year. So that's the good news. And in terms of the fourth quarter, if we look at the outages that are coming in the fourth quarter, actually we'd expect it to be at least flat with last year. So third quarter was down 9%. Maintenance budgets are under pressure, but in terms of the fourth quarter itself, we're expecting orders to be pretty flat with last year, if not a little bit better.
And Max, I think to finish that off, we've got about $5 million of book to build this year versus about 15 the same point last year. So we're feeling comfortable with that. There's got a lot to do in the last couple of months of the year, as Critical always do. I think you've got what about $100 million to ship in the last
December.
In December, and that's about the same as you had last year.
Exactly.
So doable,
right.
But a lot to deliver in the last couple of months.
And I think, I mean, at the first half results, you quite helpfully gave us what the oil and gas aftermarket was down. I think it was down 16% within the aftermarket decline within the first half. Are you able to give us that figure for Q3? Has it got any worse or better?
No, well, I mean, be careful, Max, because these things can be pretty lumpy. It actually is down 7% in Q3. But, you know, I'd say oil and gas aftermarket, you know, the maintenance budgets of our customers are definitely under pressure, Max. So, you know, please don't read too much of a trend into that, but it was 7% down in the third quarter.
Okay, thank you. And maybe just the final question, just on acquisitions, could you talk a little bit about, I mean, obviously you mentioned 2017 is probably not going to be a year of much pickup in end markets. How do you see sort of opportunities for M&A at the moment? Are you finding deals to be good value? Could you talk a little bit about your pipeline? Thank you.
Yeah, I think in, you know, it differs by division, Max. In critical, good assets that are, you know, high quality are, the owners of those assets are holding back because clearly this is not the point in time to put quality assets, you know, on the market. There's some pretty horrible stuff out there that we're not interested in. I think in precision, but having said that, you tend to find in Roy's world, the assets we look after are privately owned or in private equity hands, and we build relationships, and over time, things other than the economy, like succession and those sorts of issues and health of owners, affect the availability of those assets. And we've got a number of those in work at any time. In precision, we've outlined that, you know, at the end of 2017, we would like to do a large-scale deal. And certainly Massimo's bandwidth in terms of his management team, his organisation structure has improved dramatically over the course of the next year. And we'd feel comfortable if the right thing came along, we would look at that. And then moving over to the hydronics world, Pete's out actively looking at bolt-ons in Europe. A lot of those are privately owned as well, and those relationships are being forged. So we've got the balance sheet to support acquisitions that tend to be bolt-ons, and certainly Massimo's working on, you know, what could be larger scale. But we would certainly give the market a good indication before we did anything in terms of large scale and make sure that it was the right thing, right down the fairway in terms of product and strategy.
Great. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Robert Davies with Morgan Stanley.
Morning, everyone. Just a few questions from me. First one was just sort of fleshing out maybe you mentioned a sort of lumpiness in different parts of the sort of critical engineering business. Maybe if you can just give us a bit more of a, I guess, a kind of overview of your expectations heading into the fourth quarter, how that sort of mix between OE and aftermarket is going to develop, and sort of looking forward into next year. You mentioned the sort of pressure on the maintenance budgets. I guess how much of that is kind of when you roll into the new year, expectations get reset, you know, new budgets get set by companies. I guess how much of this is a sort of year-end phenomenon and where you sort of expect that to pan out in 2017? And then the second one was just really around the sort of general short cycle environment. So you were running kind of down 3% at the moment. Within the sort of various bits and pieces, I guess as you head into next year, where are you sort of more or less positive?
Sure. Roy, could you take the lumpiness question?
Yeah, certainly, Robert. Yeah, so this is Roy. Robert, I everything I hear tells me that maintenance budgets next year will be under just as much pressure, if not more, than this year. You know, there's very little good news filtering through in terms of customers and what they expect to spend on maintenance. Houston's going to be a bit better, I think, next year. But outside of that, you know, power and those areas, I don't see the pressure relenting at all.
Okay, understood.
And I think in terms of the short cycle, Robert, you know, most effective obviously in terms of the industrial automation business for precision. We've done pretty well in that regard. We were down 4%, you know, in the quarter. If you take a look at a number of our peers, I think I've seen numbers as much as 11. So I think Massimo's work to change his organisation structure and be focused on the vertical has delivered some benefits. Having said that, it's still a bit choppy. We get a great week and then that's followed up by something that's reasonably soft. We're not expecting coming into 2017 that there is going to be any massive improvement in the industrial automation sector. I think in terms of commercial vehicle, that's the other, you know, we do 160 million of commercial vehicle revenue a year out of the Precision Division. It's been terrible in the US this year. I think 230,000 was where we bottomed in terms of Class 8 trucks. Next year, we're expecting that will reduce to about 203,000. That's our current expectation. And we've obviously had a very good run in terms of European Class 8. Our gut feel at the moment is it's probably going to be down anywhere from 5 to 7%. That's what we're planning. And as I mentioned in the overview, we've got about 13 million of contracts which will come to a close at during the back end of this year and early into next. There will be a gap before the new products start. We've mentioned Kongsberg before, which is going to launch in 2018. So Masimo's looking at ways of offsetting that. I think life sciences, you know, we'll show some growth in life sciences, we'll show some growth in rail this year, but the short cycle industrial automation is the most important piece, and we're holding our own, but we're not expecting, Robert, that it's going to get any better in 2017 than it is this year.
Okay, that's great. And then just the final one was just around the LNG side. I mean, you mentioned before, I think, to the market a couple of times that you expected this year to be a bit of a sort of soft patch as you sort of go between phase one of the original sort of OE sales and when the aftermarket kicks in. I guess as you sort of look forward into 17 and 18, are things in terms of your expectations still on track that you'll see that sort of second wave of aftermarket kicking in from those original LNG orders you won?
Yeah. So, Robert, it's Roy. So I think we said this year, you know, we're going to expect about half the orders in new construction LNG that we got last year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, to be precise, we got about £60 million of orders. This year, I think it's going to be closer actually to £25 million. So I think it's even slightly worse than I thought it was 3 months ago. And that's US LNG. If I look at the projects, you know, those projects that were going to go ahead are now not going ahead. That's about £5 million worth of bookings. I think LNG overcapacity globally means that new construction is going to stay low for the next couple of years. In terms of the aftermarket, that probably is slightly slower than we thought as well a quarter ago, literally because the plants aren't being run as hard, and we're just not seeing as many follow-on spares orders with the new construction orders that we normally get. So I think that's a bit slower as well, Robert, unfortunately. We will get that. You know, over the next few years, you'll definitely see those LNG parts orders build, but it's probably gone backwards a little bit in the last quarter compared to where we thought.
Okay, great. Thanks for that.
Your next question comes from Alexander Virgo with Bank of America.
Thanks very much. Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. One on the cost side, if I may. I wondered if you could give us some indication of what the opportunity might be when you think about those SG&A costs, I guess in CE and PE probably more particularly. And then second, I wondered, would you mind just giving us the CV, the commercial vehicle decline? Where you've given us that IA was down 4, I think, in the quarter. What was CV down? Thanks.
Sure. Listen, how are you, Alex? In terms of your cost down actions, people would be aware that this year we've pointed to about $27 million of exceptionals being incurred. I think Roy's outlined also that he's running his run rate of cost improvement as a result of that action is about $12 million for the full year. So an annualised run rate of 16. We would also expect that our exceptionals next year will be about the same, 27 to 30 million. It will be split more 50% into critical and 50% into precision. And the expectations are that they'll produce about 50% of that total value in terms of P&L benefits in the year, with a further follow on the balance of the year. Now, in real terms, Masimo's doing a lot of reorganisation in his business. We've restructured the US into verticals. We've now combined both Western Europe and Central Europe into a simple European structure, and that vertical is now being established. We think that in the longer term, we would like to see the gap in terms of our SG&A costs and the competitors, were brought into focus. And we're about 6%. Uncompetitive in SG&A with the very best in the industry. Now, we don't expect we're going to get all of that, and it will take a number of years, but I think if you factored in Alex, for next year, about 15 million of exceptionals for Masimo, and about 50% of that dropping through in terms of P&L benefit. And of course, he's got his Project Janus, which is the insourcing activity. And that insourcing is quite an important program for us. We're currently running the plants at about 50% utilization on two shifts. Through insourcing, that will grow to about 60 to 65% next year. And our expectation is the year after would probably grow our utilization to 75%. Now, that'll give us overhead recovery benefits. And, of course, the other thing that we do have is a number of new CV contracts coming our way. It starts in 2018, but there's a pipeline that's really quite exciting behind it. And that will also help fill the plants, beyond that 75. So I think in terms of cost out, I hope that answers the question. In terms of CV, Massimo, for the quarter?
Sure. Good morning, Alex. Massimo here. For the quarter, we are down 9% globally in CV, with a decline of 21% in the Americas, which is quite steady throughout the year. So on a year-to-date basis, we are about 23% down. We're quite pleased with our Asian business, where we are at 7% growth in Q3, and this is about the same percentage growth we are having throughout the full year. While in Europe we are flat in Q3, we have been positive by 5-6% in Q1 and Q2. So we are feeling a little bit of a slowdown, but we are still positive by 3% on a full-year base.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed.
Your next question comes from Stefan Swanton with Redburn.
Morning, guys. Just a couple of questions. On Precision, it seems like the geographic mix within industrial automation has completely changed from the first half. Because I think from the first half, you're talking about kind of America's been weak and Europe being better, and it now seems to have flipped with America's being positive and Europe being down. I just kind of want to understand kind of what the big kind of change has been there. And then on hydronics, is a slower start in Europe, is that just kind of weather related going into heating season, and is that why the market's been a little bit weak?
Stefan, how are you?
Good, thanks.
in terms of the IA, mate, it's just shifting around a wee bit. We have seen, ups and downs from America and also through Europe. Food and beverage was strong in the US in the first half, and then backed off in the third quarter. So, look, there's nothing to read into it in terms of geographic change. As I said, we're seeing lumpiness week to week, in the order book in Precision. We've seen some cracking weeks, and then the next weeks have been disappointing, and that's right across the globe. Our view is companies are reluctant to put their hands in their pockets and find CapEx, and even in terms of maintenance spend, a bit like Roy's world, companies are pushing out their maintenance whenever they can. So that's having a bit of an impact week to week, but there's no trend geographically that you could take from that, Stephen.
Okay.
I think in terms of hydronic, three things for Pete, which were, a bit disappointing. I think September, we were disappointed with the order book in September. If you take a look at the German weather patterns, and that's the biggest part of our market, you'll see that, the weather was up a couple of degrees C, even against the last couple of years, and that has an impact in terms of when it starts. October was more in line, and we can tell you that November is, there's been a great start to the first couple of weeks in November, Pete. So I think that's the winter piece. You'd be aware that our China business, which is reasonably small, it's only 5 or 6 million of revenue this year, that's very much new projects. And we have seen construction delays in China. I think that's representative of what you see in terms of the industrial pattern over there. And there were a couple of delays also in North American large contract and projects as well. So that probably hit Pete's numbers by about 1.5% in revenue turns in real terms. But look, it has got cold now, and we're starting to see the orders come through. It's just about how much time we've got between now and the year end. Pete, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think so. The third quarter is always awkward because you've got July and August in Europe holiday season, then everybody comes back, and this year it was to warm weather, so we just can't control that. What we can control now is how much we can get done between now and the end of the year. So I feel a lot more optimistic now than I did a couple of weeks ago, as we've seen the orders come in to a good extent.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Douglas with Jefferies.
Thanks. Morning, guys. You've answered a number of my questions, so I just got one on value engineering for Roy. I think we had some pretty, well, we were pretty happy with the momentum we saw in the first half, you know, some good growth year on year. Can you just give us an update on kind of where we are in terms of how that progressed in the second half and kind of thoughts into next year? And then I've got a couple of numbers questions for Dan.
Great. Yes. Good morning, Andy. Yeah. Good to speak to you. Yeah, I think, Andy, just to recap for everybody else, so we really got this initiative moving in the second half of last year, and we booked about £8 million worth of orders that we wouldn't have won before we were using value engineering and lean in December of last year. And in the first half, I said that we booked £40 million. We managed to get that up to £40 million worth of orders that, again, we wouldn't have won before value engineering. In the second half of this year, Andy, I think we'll do another £40 million, so something like a third of our new construction orders are going to come through from value engineering again that we literally wouldn't have won. And, you know, we're seeing cost savings. You know, the projects I was reviewing with the teams yesterday, there was a project that was a 27% cost saving. And that was really by stripping down all the competitors, learning all the best of what they're doing, plus applying standard value engineering techniques and realizing that sort of cost saving. We're also chasing one or two large orders in the last quarter, where, again, we're using those techniques, Andy. So you know, I'd say roughly, you know, £40 million, or definitely £40 million in the first half, roughly £40 million in the second half of this year is what we should win through value engineering.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
and then a couple of questions for Dan. We had a bit of a chat at the half year about property disposals in the first half. Can you just give us an update on where we are for the second half and what that looks like for next year? Because that has a bit of a delta on the year-on-year numbers, doesn't it?
Yeah, Andy, hey, on property, you're right. We did have the one disposal that was in Precision in Massimo's numbers, about $4 million of profit in his first half numbers. That gives him about 120 basis points on his margin. We pretty much have only some small things left to do, and most of them will get away at book value. So going forward, I wouldn't expect very much profit and margin coming through on the property side. So, but you know, we're going to continue to free up bits and we'll get them through. But I think the large profit impacts are probably over.
Sure. And I was slightly late on getting on the call, so apologies if you've answered this already. But with respect to cash flow and debt, how's that kind of panned out in the third quarter? And kind of, I guess we've got an FX impact for the full year on translation, which I don't know, must be what, 20, 30 million quid, but apart from that, you're pretty happy with how cash is going?
Yep, and good math, Andy. Well done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, good cash delivery in the first half, and that's continuing. I think you'll recall about 85 million of operating cash flow, a cash conversion of about 90% in the first half. We'd expect that to continue. I think one caveat, as we said earlier, Roy's got a lot to do in December, and his customers can be a bit of a pain when it comes to cash at the end of the year. I mean, you know it. Roy will manage that day to day, and he'll probably be here till 11:35 on the 31st. But barring any major changes there, we should expect to see some good cash. And as you said, the currency, the weakness, which helps us on the P&L, does give us some pain on debt translation. And yeah, probably, depending on where we are and where the dollar and euro hits, 25 to 30 million of additional translation increase on the net debt in the second half.
Perfect, Laurie. Thanks for that.
Cool. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Mark Davis Jones with STI STL.
That would be Stiefel then. Morning all. one big picture question on the numbers and then a slightly more detailed one for Roy. The big picture one, obviously at the half year you were looking at 5% organic declines in group revenue and expecting that sort of rate to continue, and it's worsened to the -8 you reported today. But you're still thinking you're getting to the same point in terms of underlying earnings. Is there any incremental cost saving coming out of that, or is that, again, more about the lumpiness and a reduction in that rate of decline, again, you're anticipating in Q4?
Yeah, Mark, I think that's just the lumpiness in you know, particularly in Roy's world. That fourth quarter is always important, as it was last year, and equivalently, it'll have the same impact this year.
All right, so there's no additional cost savings relative to what you're expecting at the first
half? No, look, Roy's run rate is $16 million per annum, so clearly in the first half, he was about four. He'll do 12 in the full year, so it is accelerating. Massimo's making improvements as is, in the second half. We expect his margins, you know, be broadly flat, but you know, those improvements are starting to come through, certainly in terms of inventory and working capital. We're seeing that come through. So net-net, we're where we expect it to be, Mark.
Okay, thanks. And for Roy, can I just ask for a bit more colour around the power side of Critical, particularly if you're we've been talking about hoping for signs of life on the nuclear business for a very long time. Is there any of that becoming any nearer?
In terms of nuclear itself then, Mark, really, the only real activity right now is China, and there is some activity, but it's still taking longer than it would have done pre the Fukushima accident to get these orders landed. We have got one or two, and you know, it's not completely desperate, but it's not really coming back to where it was 10% of our business pre that Fukushima accident. So, you know, we're a long way to go till we get to that point.
And I think, Mark, that's been reflected in the fact that we've consolidated plants at both Switzerland and also into our Canadian business coming into Bopp and Reuter. What we now have is a large Bopp and Reuter capability in nuclear focused at that sector. And obviously there's been some significant reductions in overhead costs as Roy came through that cycle and was particularly focused at nuclear.
Exactly, Mark. I mean, a big chunk of that $16 million is those factory consolidations in nuclear, of that $16 million run rate.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Harry Phillips with Peel Hunt.
Good morning, everyone. Just a quick question on Critical. I mean, the order intake was down 12% in the third quarter. Is it right to assume that's the run rate going through the first half of next year in terms of revenue? And then secondly, could you just again in Critical, just go through fossil, petrochem, nuclear, you've already done, just give us a bit of guidance on the momentum there in those respective end markets, please.
Yeah, I mean, Harry, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Markets have definitely been weaker than we anticipated, as Mark said. You know, I think that the order book at the end of this year, you know, bearing in mind what we're sort of forecasting to ship and book, you know, it could be around 12% down on last year. And I think that, Harry, as you know, is a reasonable guide in terms of what will happen to revenues next year. And that's probably, you know, the best way. Obviously, it'll depend on aftermarket, the shorter cycle
yep.
stuff.
Yep.
It's always been a reasonable guide. I think that if you try and split that up, I think aftermarket, as I said earlier, you know, it's still maintenance budgets are still definitely under pressure. I don't see any reason why that will change next year. LNG, as you know, as I've already explained, is down from its peak. You know, we were running at £60 million
yep.
on new construction. I think you've got that. I mean, power, I think, is, you know, I hope it's pretty well bottomed out, actually, on the new construction side. And petrochem, you know, we're still up year to date. We're still the third quarter was a bit lower, but petrochem is extremely lumpy. As you know, that's where some of our biggest projects are, and we're still up year to date. So I think petrochem, you know, will hopefully carry on showing some incremental gains throughout next year. Projects are definitely a lot slower to book than they were, as I keep saying. You know, I've talked about this project down in Africa at the half year, and that's typical. They still want more cost out, so they still recycle the order and try and get us to get more cost down, all those good things. But Petrochem, I think, will be okay next year. So you know, that will be my overall sort of segmental analysis briefly, Harry.
Fantastic. Thanks very much indeed.
Our next question comes from Michael Blogg with Investec.
Good morning, gents. My question is a sort of top-level one, if you don't mind. It's just asking, on your guidance, I mean, you've given us a pretty clear view of what the guidance is. You also mentioned, particularly on critical engineering, a risk that project slippage could push things out from Q4 into next year. Do you have enough contingency in your guidance to deal with that, or is that downside from the guidance?
Hi there, Michael. Look, I think we've taken a view of what the appropriate levels of contingencies are given what we've seen throughout the course of this year. So, look, I feel entirely comfortable that that number, in terms of EPS guidance, shouldn't be under any risk. You know, and if things go well, there could be just a wee bit of upside. But, look, on balance, looking through it, we think that's about the right place for us to be. And there's enough contingency in there that even if something falls, and Roy is expecting that some of those contracts will probably push into the early part of 2017. If they don't, that's a bit of upside. If they do, then we'll be about where we've pointed to.
Good. Okay. Thanks very much. That's what I hoped I would hear. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Next question comes from Jonathan Hearn with Deutsche Bank.
Good morning, guys. Just a couple of questions from me. Firstly, just coming back to the to critical and the potential for project slippage. Can you just give us a little bit of color of how much of that $100 million to ship in Q4 is at risk of slippage? That was the first question. The second question was just on Hydronics and obviously the decline in the second half margin there. Do we still have an element of under-recovered overheads in that business as you run down inventory? And the third question was just coming on to critical for 2017. Obviously, you've talked a little bit about what you think the revenue outlook is going to be. Can you just talk a little bit about what we can expect from the margin? And just obviously, you are taking costs out in that business. Can we expect margins to be broadly flat year on year, or do you just think maybe down to the better order book, maybe they slightly increased? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. So on critical in terms of, you know, the risk around the shipments, Jonathan, I would say it's incredibly hard to tell, number one, because, you know, what will happen to you is that a customer doesn't come to the final acceptance testing. You know, so out of that $100 million in December, there's probably half of that will be new construction orders, and there'll be several orders in there that will be in the order of, you know, £3-5 million, and if the customer doesn't come to the final acceptance test, very little that you can do. Obviously, you chase them, you do all those good things, but also if they don't turn up, then we can't ship the goods contractually. So very hard to tell, but just to try and frame it for you, if you said half of that $100 million was new construction, and if you said, you know, up to, I would say, no more than $20 million, you know, would be at risk of customers not turning up to final acceptance test. So that gives you a rough clue.
Great, thanks.
I would also add, actually, Jonathan, it was exactly the same position last year. We obviously have a process to manage this, you know, which is where I actually personally watch it on a daily basis, and we make sure that everything that we're supposed to ship is absolutely following the processes required to make it as easy as possible for the customer to take the goods. So, you know, we do have a process for managing this, and last year, as you know, we actually slightly overachieved. So you know, we're just flagging it's a lot to ship, but we have a process for dealing with it.
Great.
And Peter, if you can just respond to Jonathan in terms of the under-recovery question.
Well, obviously, the main driver behind it is the reduction or increase in inventory. We saw an under-recovery in September and October, but a big over-recovery in November. We do expect our year-end to finish about 10% down on prior year's inventory, so there will be an effect there. There's some other moving parts, but that's the main one.
Yeah, I think just to give Jonathan a ready reckoner on that, for every million of inventory that we take out, there's about $300K that hits the profit line, because as you produce inventory, you get an over-recovery. As you reduce inventory,
correct,
you get an under-recovery. And I think your inventory is going to be down $3 million in the year, Pete?
Yes, $3 million.
And I think, Massimo, you're down $7 million in the year.
Almost, yeah.
So, you know, there's about 10 million of inventory reduction coming through those two divisions, Jonathan, and if you factored about 30% of that would be impact of under-recoveries, that's about the scale of it.
Great, thank you. And just last question was just on potentially on the margin for Critical. And just
Critical. So, Jonathan, it's Roy again. So, Jonathan, you know, if we say that the order book, you know, ends up around 12% down, and that does reflect into revenues next year, obviously, as Mark explained, this year we are going to deliver £12 million of savings from all of those site consolidations. That actually has a run rate of £16 million, so there's an extra £4 million that will just drop into next year. And then we're looking to spend probably another £12 or £13 million on rationalisation on Critical, so half the overall group number that Mark gave you, to look at other cost-saving opportunities primarily in Europe. So, yes, we will be doing everything possible without damaging the future of the business to make sure that we protect those margins.
Great. Thank you. Very helpful.
Your next question comes from David Larkham with Numis.
Morning, guys. Long queue this morning. Just trying to understand, because the way I read it, it's sort of as though Q3 was a little bit softer, and some of the statements for the full year divisional level seem to be a little bit softer. But yet you're saying EPS is no change from the previous guidance. So I'm just trying to sort of work through the P&L, whether I'm missing something below that EBIT type number.
No, look, I don't think you are, Dave. Obviously, when we set our expectations at the half year, we, you know, the markets are choppy. We knew they were choppy. We built in a degree of contingency coming into to the second half of the year. And, you know, that contingency in the main has been utilised. So, you know, I think it's just a factor of when we do give guidance, we take into consideration what's realistic in our marketplaces, what impact that might have in terms of profits, and that was factored into our guidance at the half-year mark.
Okay, so EBIT and PBT are also no change from your previous thought process?
Yeah, look, I think there's ups and downs across the three divisions, but in the main, it's, you know, the EPS guidance is maintained. And as we said, coming out of the gate in February, we were pretty clear as to where we would be in the full year. Clearly, we've had currency work in our favour, but I think, you know, what we've done has been absolutely clear what the currency benefits has been quarter by quarter. So I think it's made it easy for analysts and the investors to understand how we're performing on a like-for-like basis.
And just one on hydronics and new products. Just, have you got a figure for how they are going? Because obviously they're a little bit behind expectations in the first half. So I just wondered sort of what sort of growth rate we're seeing from those.
Yeah, Pete, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure, David. First of all, the new products are being very well received in the market. I can tell you the gross sales for new products this year will be £30 million of new product sales, more than last year. £20 million of that is what we call substitution, i.e. newer products replacing old ones. So that leaves £10 million of net incremental improvement as a result of the new product pipeline. And that is exactly the same set of numbers as there was last year. So we're contributing £10 million net to the underlying run rate of the business. But I can just tell you the products are really helping all over the world at the moment and are being really well received.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Andrew Douglas with Jefferies.
Hi, just another quick follow-up. If we look at FX for next year, Dan, am I right in thinking translation's about 7 to 8%, maybe a touch more if we take current spot rates? You know, you had a nice 12% this year. Isn't 8 or 9% next year, is that about right?
Yeah, Andy, the only thing I'd say is looks like the pound strengthening up a bit today and yesterday. I can't imagine why that is. There might be some other factors going on in the world. I say that comfortably with my UK passport in my left pocket. But, yeah, I mean, there's clearly some benefit we should expect to see next year. And, yeah, between 5 and 10%, depending on where the dollar and euro ultimately play out.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sandeep Gandhi with Exxon.
Morning, everyone. Just one question from me. So following the US election result yesterday, I was just wondering if you could give us a bit of color on how big operations are in Mexico. and an indication of how much is exported to the US from there.
Yeah, Santiago, good view. I mean, the Mexican operations are an important part of our CV business particularly. I mean, it's not massive in overall terms. It's an area that we would consider investing further into. It is a low-cost, very productive hub for us. My expectation, reading through all of the noise of it all, is that there won't be any significant impact on that business, certainly in 2017 and even beyond that. The question for us is how much more capital we put in to grow that business, and we'll have to wait and see what the policies are that come out of the new administration. But, you know, I think in terms of 2017, we've got no concerns that that's going to be a negative impact in the year. It's really about how much capital we put in to grow it, because it's a great business with some really good capabilities. And I know Massimo was considering further investments in 2017 and beyond, but we'll hold off that investment till we know where the administration is heading.
Great, thanks very much.
Your next question comes from Tim Schulz Melander with JP Morgan.
Hi there, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. I just had one just coming back to Roy's comments around budget pressures that you're seeing through the end of this year and expecting to see continue into the early part, at least, of next year. Interested in your comment around pricing, which sounds like actually a pretty good outcome given those pressures. Can you maybe just give us a little bit more detail? Are you talking about net pricing, maybe net of cost saves, and how vulnerable or how robust that sort of pricing outlook is? Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Tim. Tim, obviously the nature of what we do in critical engineering means that most end-user customers will not compromise on spares. I mean, you can obviously, nuclear, they never compromise in power stations because it's on the turbine bypass, because you can actually wreck the turbine, if you get it wrong. Very, very few customers compromise. And the same thing in LNG, obviously, because, again, you're controlling the LNG compressor, which is a very expensive bit of a kit. And more importantly, if it goes down, you lose huge revenues. So generally speaking, you know, we lose very, very little to replicators or the like. So that's the business model, and that's why pricing generally is held up. On top of that, of course, we are doing value engineering. We are slickening up our systems. And parts is more of a flow business, obviously, than new construction is. And a lot of the lean techniques like reducing setup time, reducing cycle time, a lot of that applies better actually to the parts than it does to the lumpy new construction business. So you're absolutely right. I would say that, you know, the bigger part of the issue is that pricing is holding up because of the criticality of the spares, but we are getting some cost savings as well.
Great. Very good. Thank you.
Just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no questions at this time. Mark, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Christy. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending the call. Thanks for a good set of questions, and thanks for my team for making the time available. I'm sure if there's any follow-up, please don't hesitate to let us know. But have a great day, and look forward to catching you next week. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect.